It's time once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Good evening, everybody, on this rainy Wednesday evening, and I don't think there's anybody that's complaining about the rain tonight.
Sure do wish it wouldn't have rained today.
Well, okay, there's one then.
I love the rain.
Yes. And that beautiful voice that you just heard.
Well, thank you, Jack.
Is the voice of Carol Judy.
Oh, I thought you meant yes. Me.
Man. And Carol, so do you have an official title, Queen of the Opera House?
Sure, that's me.
That's perfect, huh?
No, actually, I am one of the board of directors.
You are one of the board of directors. Mm-hmm. So
part of the group.
So part of what we're going to talk about is the recent development and changes that have been going on up at the Opera House.
Yeah, we've all kind of seen the scissor lifts and things going on.
We're beginning to see progress, and we couldn't be more excited.
Yep.
We started in 2020. Of course, that was COVID also, so things were off to a slow and rocky start. We've done a lot of demo inside in the downstairs as well as the upstairs. We've removed wallpaper. We've removed walls. We've removed lots of things.
And most of that...
Most of that nobody can see.
Well,
until you're in the building.
And it's stuff that... like the wallpaper and a lot of that stuff was stuff that local people and volunteers did, correct?
We did a lot of that work, yes. Dean Zeringer from Mesa Trades has been a big help. He's done a lot of our work, too. We've had some Amish crews come in to do the heavy stuff to get rid of some of the walls and the lowered ceilings and those kinds of things. So we're back to the original ceilings in the downstairs. Upstairs, the ceiling was falling apart. Most people have seen pictures of that. And on radio, of course, I can't show you the pictures. But the ceiling has been completely redone. And it has been repainted with stencils that were made to match identically to what was up there originally. Colors are a little fresher and newer than they probably were back in the 1800s. But they're very similar to what was up there. The ceiling looks fantastic compared to what it did. The before and after is just unbelievable. And most people also know that there were murals all the way around the Opera House building itself on the second floor. We have had one of those restored by a conservationist out of Indianapolis. She did a fantastic job on it. And it's on the back wall. If you go up the steps and walk around the corner and look there, and there are two murals there. So, again, we have an ideal picture of before and after.
Oh, cool.
Because the one picture is totally original as it was when we took off the two layers of wallpaper, and the other one has been restored or conserved. And the difference is just night and day. It's beautiful. But we're not going to do any more of that type of thing right now because... The next phase, hopefully in the spring, we will be digging behind the building and building our annex. And that's the next big exciting thing that you'll be seeing after the new windows go in. Because that will give us the ADA accessibility of our elevator and restrooms and access to the second floor very easily. But we're also afraid that there might be some more cracks in the plaster or a lot of dust and that kind of thing. And we don't want to have any more of those paintings restored until after the dust settles.
So
we're going to wait right now.
So the wall that has been updated is the wall opposite the stage, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
I tell you what, before we go any further, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and we'll talk about some of the external changes that that we can see it too. So we'll be back right after this.
This is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious, home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price, Monday through Friday. And now we also offer a second cook's choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday will be our famous three-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get a tenderloin with fries and applesauce. And on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our two lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime, Monday through Friday, here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Port Recovery.
Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. If you're serious about your lawn, you should get a lawn or garden tractor sold by someone who's dedicated to knowing their products. That's why more and more people are realizing the value in purchasing lawn and garden tractors from a local independent simplicity dealer like K&L Tractor. We offer test drives, financing plans, service technicians, setup and delivery, and of course, the best tractors and zero-turn mowers made. Simplicity, the way to a beautiful lawn.
The Fort Recovery Knights of Columbus are having a pork loin dinner on Sunday, October 8th, with drive-through pickup from 4 to 6 p.m. at the KFC Hall. It will be pre-sale only, and you can order your dinners by using the envelopes found in any of the cluster churches, St. Peter, St. Joseph, St. Paul's in Sharpsburg, or Mary Help of Christians, as well as St. Anthony and St. Mary's in Philothea. Ordering information is in the envelope. Or you can also call or text 567-644-5927 for tickets. Be sure to order your pork loin dinners by Sunday, October 1st, and why not order a few extra for a quick meal through the week? Don't miss a Knights of Columbus pork dinner coming up on Sunday, October 8th from 4 to 6 p.m.
We're back inside. Jack Stoller, rocker. Hello, rocker.
Hi, Jack.
And we're speaking with Carol Judy, one of the board of directors from the Morbilius Opera House Project. And Carol, I tell you what, before we get into the physical changes that we can see right now, let's touch a little bit on how did we get here, okay? Because I always think that that's an interesting part of where the whole thing started. So, Ken, like, you share a bit about how this got started and why it's working.
Sure. The Opera House has not been used since 1939. It has sat dormant for many, many years. Over the years, a couple different people that owned the building thought about restoring it and doing something with it. Terry and Thema Smith are the first ones that come to mind. They owned the building for a while, and they thought they were going to be able to do something, and they had a group of three or four people, and they pretty soon figured out that it was a huge task, and it was just too much for them, and another group did the same thing. Coming up to 2020, Mike Brockman was running the appliance store. He was making noises about retiring and getting out of the business, and the building would be for sale. And a few of the forward thinkers here in Fort Recovery, Cy and Helen Lefevre, Jerry and Lori Kalp, Karen Myring and Bob, several of those kinds of people said, we need to do something. Karen and Tracy Evers-Westgirdes have the vision of what can be done there, be with their musical background and their talents and what they want to do and see happening in there. Other people wanted to preserve it for the village, and so things got the ball rolling. We now have a group of about 25 people that are real go-getters and have a lot of different visions, a lot of different contacts, a lot of different experiences and expertise that are going to make this project happen. We've done a lot of fundraising, and we miss Cy Lefevre terribly since he is no longer with us. He was a major, major fundraiser for us because he knew all the business people and knew how to approach them and how to talk with them, and because he'd been in business himself for so many years and so successfully. So we really miss him. We're trying to fill his big shoes right now with fundraising, because we did a lot of fundraising and he did a lot of fundraising, but inflation has taken off too in the last year, as everybody knows, and so building costs have gone up. So we're still going to be doing some fundraising. We have done very, very well, but so we have a group of officers and a board of directors and a group of other interested people that are all willing to help us, and we've been throwing all our expertise together, and if one person doesn't have an idea, somebody else does, and we seem to work together very, very well.
So is there a connection between the Historical Society and the Morbilius Opera House?
More or less, yes. We are separate entities, but Kim Rammel happens to be the president of the Historical Society as well as the president of the Morbilius Opera House. And the Historical Society has a lot of memorabilia, and they have all the records that Russell Morbilius kept when he was doing shows and operating the Opera House. They have all of those tickets and brochures and flyers and things like that in their collection. So when we get the lobby up and running, which will be the south side of the downstairs business section of the building, a lot of those things from the Historical Society will be able to be put on display. So we will be, as well as a lobby and a gathering place for the Morbilius Opera House, it will also be an outlet for changing of scenery and displays and things of information that the Historical Society has stored with nowhere to go. So we'll be able to showcase that and probably have rotating displays of different things about the history of Fort Recovery, especially as it pertains to the Opera House.
Fantastic.
So we'll be working together.
Yeah, so it's so they're different entities,
yes,
but definitely connected.
Yes, definitely connected, because we're all about the history.
Sure, sure. So let's talk about so can you share a bit about the Morbilius family, and what was the name of the people that started it, and up to which family members have actually recently visited it?
Oh, we've had several of those. Russell's family came over from Germany, settled basically in St. Mary's. Russell at some point decided, and I'm not sure which way it was, he either met Minnie, who lived in Fort Recovery, and her father was the first journal newspaper editor.
Oh, cool.
And I've lost his last name right now. But whether they had met and he came over here because she was over here, or he came over here to expand the mercantile business that his brother and his father were in, too many people in St. Mary, so he came to Fort Recovery, and then he met Minnie, and they married. So he and Minnie lived in the house on Wayne Street, and Faye was born there, and 13 years later they...
Who lives in that house now?
Who lives in that house now?
Me.
Yes, thank you for taking very good care of that beautiful...
I am thrilled to live in the Morbilius home.
And we are thrilled to have somebody that appreciates it.
Thank you. I do appreciate it.
So what year was that house built?
1888. And Faye was born in 1890. And in 1898, Russell saw that she had musical talent as a young 8-year-old, and the Opera House became for sale. The Schneiders had owned it. The Adams had owned it. As those members died and wives were left with it, it was up for sale again, and Russell bought it in 1898. And ran it until his death in 1939. By 1936, things were slowing down quite a bit there. Depression, motor vehicles, movie theaters, the loss of a lot of the traveling troops that used to come through town and perform there regularly. They went from 400 in the community to down to 40. So there was less opportunity for those entertainers to come in because there were fewer of them. So all kinds of things led to its demise, but the final straw came when Russell died, and that was the end of the Opera House. house, and it sat dormant. Mr. Brockman, Mr. Sy, always told his boys that that belonged to the town and they were not to destroy it. So they didn't fix the roof, but they didn't destroy it either. And it was left there for us to find and restore. As far as the downstairs goes, there were always two businesses in it. Anything from saloons and doctor's offices, which is what started out there. Through the years, different apparel stores, Five and Dimes, hardware stores, the appliance store, all kinds of stores were in and out of the downstairs businesses. At one point, the door was taken out of the south side so that the businesses were one business in both buildings, so they only had one door to come in, I think, to help traffic a little bit. We will be putting that door back in as one of the improvements that will be seen in the building. The footprint is still up in the ceiling inside the building where the door was, and it will be put back to match the other door that is still in the original position. So that will be happening.
Do you know what those doors were made of and what they looked like?
We have some old pictures of them. I'm sure that they were wood back in the day. I am not sure if they will be metal to look like wood for security purposes and temperature control purposes at this point. I'm not sure exactly.
So are you going to try to, not that it's terribly important with the doors, are they going to be more modern and functional, or try to put them period-ish?
We're hoping for modern and functional, but looking to the period. A nice combination of both. We are on the historic register, so by that we have the historical boards of Ohio and things like that to answer to somewhat in some of these things that we're doing.
Right.
The paint that we're going to put on, which if you've seen the Facebook post, it has pictures of the paint.
It's on there the last couple of days.
All historic colors. Yep. The town review board still has to approve those, but we picked the one of three that we liked, and this is what we're going with. And they are all historical colors, so it's just a matter of procedure for the review board to approve them.
Yep.
And then whenever Al has a free schedule, he can start paintings. Al Warnock will be doing the painting on the building.
I wonder if he knows what he's doing.
He's got quite a few years' experience.
He is really
good. And he's my
good
neighbor. I have to be nice.
He is really good. Al is incredible.
Yeah, he will do a nice job.
That's his first rodeo.
No, not at all. Yeah, he's done a number of the buildings uptown here, and they always look just, you know, people go by and go, oh my. And they're just really, really nice. He does
and
a great job.
These colors aren't a major difference from what was put on there in 97 when we did the whole downtown district. But there'll be enough that I think it'll make it pop and it'll make it look really new.
Yep.
And fresh, which will be wonderful.
Yep.
And you were talking about the scissor lift. Bruins Construction has been over. They are in charge of replacing the windows. The windows have been ordered, and they are putting new wood around all the windows now to put the windows into. So the frames will be wood, and they're getting ready to put. The windows will not be wood. They will be new and updated, but to look old. And they will be going in. We're hoping by December they will have them in and ready to actually put the windows in so we can take the plywood off that was keeping the old windows from falling out onto the street and hurting someone.
Yep.
They were getting pretty, pretty old. But they were not the original windows, so we did not have to stick with original remake, because the explosion back in 1907 in the hardware store next door blew all the windows out of the Opera House. So in 1907, all those windows were replaced, and they've been replaced a time or two since then. But because they were not the original windows, we weren't tied to total originality.
Yeah.
But we're going to make them fit the windows that are the window openings that are there, and keep that aspect.
And keep the ambiance or whatever, the general look.
They will also be triple pane, because back in the 1800s and early 1900s, they didn't have tractors and semis running up and down State Route 119, creating a lot of noise that's very hard to hear over if you're trying to have a performance in the Opera House. So these will be triple pane to deaden the noise also.
Yep, that's awesome.
It'll be a nice blend of the old and the new.
So as like you talk about these changes and things, So the next phase, the elevator and the things that'll happen on the west side of the building, is expected to start in the spring of 24?
Yes. Yes, we expect to break ground on the annex in the spring. And that's been discussed and rediscussed and changed and rechanged, but yeah, final answer. Spring of 24, annex starts.
And then, so have you looked as far, and I know construction is hard to predict, but if, like, you were going to target a date for opening performance, are you looking at summer of 25?
We're not looking at a specific date. Everyone that we have visited that has opera houses or other entities like this that they've redone, they have all said, do not set an end date. Leave it open because you'll only frustrate yourself. Yeah. So we are not frustrating ourselves. Karen and Tracy have plans and ideas. Being that our building is historical, we can technically get away without complete ADA accessibility, at least for a while. We don't want to live that way.
Sure.
We need the elevator. I work with children in wheelchairs. I know we need an elevator. 25 steps straight up doesn't do anything for my knees either. We need an elevator, and getting guitars and drums and things up, an elevator would be nice. And we will have it. But we can have some small performances before we are actually done with all of that.
Yeah.
So they're looking forward to that. I know Karen would have one next week if she could. She's really excited and wanting to get going and wanting to have wine and cheese and music up there. And it will be wonderful when we are able to do that. So you may see some things happening before we are completely ADA accessible. It will just be with that disclaimer that, you know, we're sorry.
Yeah.
It's coming, but it's not here yet.
Yeah.
So we're not going to set an actual date.
Sure.
As soon as we can, we will.
Hey, Carol. It's been about a year since I've been up there. Do I remember right? Was there a piano player up there?
There's a piano up there. It's not a player piano.
So it's like, is it in tune?
It's pretty decent. Karen has used it when she's had some tours up there over the last couple of years, and she had someone come in and sing as Faye. She used the piano. It's usable.
So it's not.
And I heard just the other day that piano actually belongs to Vicki Konapke, who was Vicki Brockman.
Mm. Oh, really? Yeah.
Her father bought that for her, and she learned to play the piano on that piano that's up there. I just learned that Saturday night.
That's awesome.
So, Vicki, if you're listening, I remember.
Very good.
So kind of one more loop in this,
one more loop going around. Yep.
Jack, I had to get my...
What's that?
Sorry, Jack, I had to give him...
Oh, no, hey.
Well, I figured...
You're always welcome to speak.
Except when you're not.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, I was thinking maybe you asked that because you kept sitting in Brick Street, you're hearing piano playing and wondering if it was coming from up there.
I think those goats are kicking in again.
Yeah.
They are up there.
Are they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
I'm just going to ask her real quick. What have you seen or heard?
Some of the other ladies have heard a music box playing when there's no music box up there.
It's somebody's phone.
They smelled cigar smoke, and Mike does not smoke cigars downstairs. So, and we did an unofficial ghost hunt one day with Alex Myrene, who is a ghost hunter.
Yep.
And I was there. That made a believer out of me.
Yep. Yeah, I saw the presentations he did about that. And yep. It's really hard to dispute what they found. So just wanted to see what that is.
Yep.
So sorry, Jack, I interrupted your going to commercial. So,
well, I mean, now should we go to a commercial?
Okay, if you want to.
Okay,
let's go.
Well, you know what? We got to pay the bills.
Yep. So, do you want to do a teaser for when we come back?
When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the changes that people may not see, and some of the behind the scenes changes that are occurring as well.
So yep.
We'll be back right after this.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery has openings in their parts department. If you're friendly and professional with a working knowledge of farm equipment, consider joining the Hull Brothers team. Applicants need to have solid computer skills, a good ability to communicate, and the desire to learn. Full-time employees enjoy great pay and benefits. Since 1896, Hull Brothers has served area farmers. Consider joining the parts department at Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery. Stop in soon or give Hull Brothers a call today.
If you're looking for great food at great prices, just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274. They have sandwiches, fried goodies, subs, salads, wraps, and of course their famous pizza and wings. Everybody can get what they want. Just call them and drive through and pick it up. And be sure to stop in on Fridays at lunch for their famous pizza and wing buffet. Make Miracle Lanes your number one spot for great food. Be sure to put their number in your phone and just call them whenever you're hungry. 419-375-4274. The Fort Recovery Knights of Columbus are having a pork loin dinner on Sunday, October 8th, with drive-through pickup from 4 to 6 p.m. at the KFC Hall. It will be pre-sale only, and you can order your dinners by using the envelopes found in any of the cluster churches, St. Peter, St. Joseph, St. Paul's in Sharpsburg, or Mary Help of Christians, as well as St. Anthony and St. Mary's in Philothea. Ordering information is in the envelope. Or you can also call or text 567-644-5927 for tickets. Be sure to order your pork loin dinners by Sunday, October 1st, and why not order a few extra for a quick meal through the week? Don't miss a Knights of Columbus pork dinner coming up on Sunday, October 8th from 4 to 6 p.m.
We're back in sight. Speaking of Carol Judy from the Morbilius Opera House Committee, Carol is on the board of directors. And I tell you what, before we go any further, can you give us an idea of kind of the leadership team, the officers that are active in this project?
I just happen to have a list, so I won't forget anybody.
That would be a good thing.
Yeah. Jill Andrews, Brad Bupp, Tracy Evers, Wes Curtis, Donna Gruby, Brandy Judy, Carol Judy, Lori Kalp, Nancy Kanapke, Helen Lefevre, Karen Myring, Kim Rammel, and Judy Wood. And of course, we can't forget Cy Lefevre and Bob Myring, who both have left our group, not because they wanted to.
Yeah.
And then our president is Kim Rammel. And let's see, who else did I miss that's on there? I think that's a good start on who's there. If I forgot anybody, I apologize.
So are there some volunteers or other people that are in the group that that do a whole bunch of stuff besides those people that you named? I know all of those people.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen in there just doing stuff like crazy. So
yes.
There's a pile of them. But are there any specific volunteers that have done a whole bunch that aren't on the board? Or once you saw they had the gumption and had the time to do all that work, that you put them on the board? Because that's usually what happens.
Diane Kaiser has been very helpful to our group.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
I can't... I've got a mic in front of me. I can't think. I'll think of it when I'm home tonight.
I love to see
do have a good group of about 25 people.
That's awesome.
And I love to see the pictures that, when it was, demo time and you were taking wallpaper down or you needed things carried out or cleaned up. There was a number of different occasions where a group of young people I don't know whether it was the art class or the music class or something from the school.
We've had football players and we've had student council kids. The student council kids do an annual cleanup thing, and they have been able to help us the last couple of years. Kim Ramble is good at recruiting her husband, Dave. He does an awesome job of helping us out.
He does.
And other kids, and she's had her grandkids help and things like that. So we have just a good group. I said we can pull from everybody, and this is for recovery. Everybody helps everybody, and it's just a wonderful community to be doing a project like this in.
Fantastic. So as like we talk about this leadership, you'd mentioned before we got on the air that this group recently developed kind of your first official business plan. And I think that's a major step towards setting out the roadmap to a certain extent for not just this group, but for future groups that you take your place as time passes. So,
right. We want to prove that we have the sustainability and we plan to be here for the long haul, and that other people, as they come in and take over and do this for us, because some of us aren't spring chickens anymore.
Yep.
As younger people come in and we've set the guidelines, we want to make sure that we have that business plan in place. And as we have to do more fundraising and looking for the rest of the funds to finish funding that annex, we want to show the business people that we go to that we mean business. We're not just some fly-by-night group that thought we were going to do this on a lark and we're going to fail. We mean business. We're doing it right. We've got our business plan, and we've got our mission statement, which I can read to you here.
Yeah.
Our vision is that the Opera House is a fully restored structure serving as a premier meeting place and performance space for the multi-county area, including Mercer, Dark, Auglaize, and Jay counties. And our mission is to encourage fellowship and performances in a venue that showcases the pride and history of Fort Recovery.
Fantastic.
And those are well said.
That says a lot about why you're doing it and what the future. Rocker.
To the show.
Huh?
To the show.
It is like having a kindergartner coming.
He's trying to get things sorted out. I have his microphone off, so we're not hearing so much of the rumbling.
I know.
So let him get, take care of his stuff, and then you can
get back in your corner.
Stop yelling at him. You can stay right there, Rocker. Some of us in the room love you.
You're killing the show, Jack.
Okay. So Carol, as like we look to the future plans, okay, one of the things that I think has kind of been kind of a bit of a volleyball maybe, there's a lot of questions about it, is what's going to happen to the downstairs? There was rumors about there being a couple of different business type places.
Right. There were a couple of people that were interested. However, jumping through the hoops and doing all the legwork and the paperwork for the National Register, as well as getting the architect going and getting plans made, some of those businesses wanted to go now, and we just weren't ready to go now because we wanted to spend the time doing the things upstairs and taking the wallpaper off and doing that type of thing. So at this point, we are pretty well secure that the south side of the building downstairs will be our gallery, lobby, meeting area, the historical area, the walkway to get back through the building into the annex to use the elevator to go upstairs.
Now, with the south part of the building, is that third building where our radio station used to be?
That's the north building.
Closest
to the traffic light.
Yeah.
Where there is no door now, that door will be put back in.
Yep, I got it now.
That will be the...
It's south of me, so I was thinking that's...
Gotcha.
So, perfect.
And then the middle space... is probably going to be turned into office spaces of some kind. Whether the village uses them, the Fort Recovery Foundation uses them, some other entity, that's a little gray area right now, but it's probably going to be turned into office space with like a small community meeting room downstairs, mm-hmm. so that can be utilized. Something to be available to the community and not be an empty space. Yep. The third building, which is where the radio station started their life, that one is, we have it so we can kind of pick our neighbors. It is ours. We're not sure what we're going to do with it. That's where apartment C bar that time burnt. So it's only a one-story building. The ceiling in the back and the roof in the back of that part of the building is not real stable, and we're just kind of, it's on a back burner right now. We know we need to do something to it, and we're still working on that one.
I'm guessing a gentleman's club's out.
A gentleman's club is out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if it's a gentleman, would you get in?
I put a lot of money in those places.
probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, this was a shot.
Yeah. So.
You could do a burlesque show in there.
That could actually happen up in the Opera House.
Yeah, so there you go. There's your gentleman's club
That's
right
close.
There.
That's
a burlesque
mm-hmm.
show. Mm-hmm. Can.
Sure.
Sounds like part of the new business plan. So, as of right now, I'm sure that the Opera House is like a nonprofit, right?
Correct.
Is there a point where there's a hope that will change?
Well, we're set up as a nonprofit, and we have our 501c3, so all donations that come into us are tax deductible. So we're still looking for those if anyone is interested.
Sure.
We hope to be self-sustaining, yes. We have some funds in an endowment. Right now, we're using most of our funds for the building and the projects and the ongoing repairs to do the things that we need to do. But we do have some endowment, and as we get the things done, more funds, if we have them, will go into that endowment to help us provide. And we're hoping that rental of the business spaces in the second part of the building, as well as events and performances, will help with that, generating the funds to continue on and maybe we can become profitable, but we're still going to remain nonprofit.
Okay.
Yeah. You're not just going to make money and start and just give money to your board of directors. You're going to use that money
for volunteer, okay. And it will all go back into the Opera House.
Yeah, if it's not the actual building, into more expensive performers and that type of thing.
Audio-visual equipment, that type of thing.
Because most of, like our summer concerts, those don't make money.
Right.
So the money has to come from somewhere, and that can be part of that. So,
right.
Yep.
You know, it's amazing when you think about the number of opportunities for entertainment. If you go back 10 or 15 years, you'd have to look awfully hard to find local live entertainment on a Friday or Saturday night, other than maybe a band at the carousel type thing. Okay. Now it seems like almost every establishment has some sort of local musician that is performing at it. And I think there's so much local talent out there that having a venue where you can bring these people together.
Exactly.
The timing is awesome.
And that's where we are, again, blessed with Karen and Tracy and their musical background, and the fact that they book the Arts in the Park program and the Van Treese Park area. They have access to all these people and groups and things that are willing to come. And a lot of those that they run across are small groups, or a single guy with a guitar, or a lady with a guitar or a banjo or something. Not exactly what you would want in an outdoor venue where you need to have a little loudness to get over the semis and everything else. But a more intimate, smaller group setting like up in the Opera House, they would be absolutely perfect for. So Karen already has a large group of performers that could possibly come in and perform. And I just talked to a friend of mine tonight who said, I would love to come to the Opera House. I wouldn't even charge you. Yeah. So I'm going to stick you to that one. And because I know she has a fantastic voice. She's wonderful. And she's willing to come. So yeah, there are all kinds of opportunities, but we already have a real good basis for people to start drawing from until people know that we were out here. And recently, Karen and I did an interview, for that's on YouTube right now. And the lady that interviewed us also is a songwriter and a performer. And she would love to come back up from Cincinnati and actually perform once we get open.
That was a very nice interview. I believe that's still available on your Facebook page, I think.
I believe so, where you can find it on
YouTube. You'll have to scroll down a little bit, go to Margolius Opera House on the Facebook page. And that was a really nice
Thank you. It was well done.
Fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take another break. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about the Opera House, but also touch on the upcoming cruise-in that is coming up. So we'll be back right after this.
There's one guarantee in business, and that is that you can never predict the future. Hi, I'm Amanda Segrist with Fort Recovery Insurance. Lots of unpredictable things happen in business. The economy might take a U-turn, or that guy from down the road might take a U-turn into your front door. From a commercial insurance package to a commercial umbrella policy, we can make sure you are covered for the unpredictable. We are your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group. Visit us at www.fortrecoveryinsurance.com.
You can't predict the future. Well, except that Ohio weather is unpredictable, and sometime in the future, you will lose power. Of course, with the Generac automatic standby generator from Reasoner Energy, you're covered. And for added predictability, now through October 8th, get a free 10-year warranty with your purchase of a Generac automatic standby generator. That's a $1,035 value. Terms and conditions apply. A predictable future is in your hands. Call for details, Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858.
Wayne IGA is stocked up with all kinds of fall decorations. They have large pots of mums in a variety of colors and decorative gourds, Indian corn, and small, large, and jumbo pumpkins. You don't need to go out of town to the big box stores to get great decorations at reasonable prices. It's all right here in town. So while you're stopping by to get your groceries, be sure to check out their great selection of attractive fall decorations. Wayne IGA, your hometown store with a whole lot more. Here are the sports broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, our Lady Indians will host the St. Henry Redskins in a battle of two of the MAC co-leaders, with both teams at 4-1, along with New Bremen and Coldwater. We'll simulcast WPGW's coverage of this big match, which will also be on the NFHS network. Friday, it'll be football as we host the Marion Local Flyers. That'll be a Fort Recovery Radio broadcast with the Wayne IGA pregame show starting at 6:40, and it will be available on the NFHS network. Then on Saturday, our Lady Indians will travel up to Crestview for their volleyball invitational. The action starts at 9 a.m., and we'll bring you as many matches as we can that day. Lots of action this week, so make plans to get to all the games. But if you just can't get there in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back. Jack Stogler Insight talking to Carol Judy from the Morbilius Opera House. And Carol, you talked earlier about the effects of inflation and the continued need from a fundraising standpoint.
Right.
I think everybody that's local knows that you guys have done a hell of a job raising a pretty good chunk of change. Can you give us some idea of where we're at and where you you'd like to be at the end of next year, let's say? Or what do we need?
Yeah. Originally, our project was slated to be somewhere in the $3 million range for the annex and the restoration of the historic building. We have raised over $2 million of that, so we're feeling real good with ourselves. However, now that $3 million number is stretching up, getting closer to $4 million. So, yeah, we are a little short.
Mostly because of inflation or things that the government said you had to add or new things that you thought, while we're at it, let's do this, or a combination of all of that?
The while we're at it, let's do this is not in that group at all. Because we have been thinking streamlining to keep costs down. And maybe doing some of those things at a later date once we're more stable. So that's not it. It's the inflation and the what we have to do and what the architects say we have to do. One saving grace is they determined that our fire escape is stable and sturdy and can be utilized. We don't have to replace the fire escape. Yay. So that's a good thing. We get to keep that historic piece of equipment up there.
That's great.
It's been there since about 1907. It's when there was a scare of a fire upstairs, and there was only one exit, and they said, Mr. Morvilius, you need to have a fire escape. So he put that in. So along with the new windows that are going in upstairs, we will be getting a new door on that fire escape, and we will be probably painting the fire escape and making it look a little fresher, but it will get to stay there. So that's a good savings.
Yep. Is that the original?
The original one that was put up in 1907, the way I understand it.
Wow.
It wasn't original to the building because they didn't have one. They took out a window, put in the door, put in the fire escape.
That's still in pretty good shape for being 120 years old.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. As far as the rest of the question, yeah, we're still fundraising. We're going to be contacting a lot of businesses, a lot of groups. Hopefully, we can get some donations that way. The alumni of Fort Recovery Schools will all be getting another letter. We sent one out a year or two ago asking for donations. We're going to go that route again and ask for more donations. People have been extremely generous. We have sold naming rights to most of the murals that are upstairs. There's going to be 4 cameos in the ceiling that are yet unspoken for, I believe, and a few other things. Cooper Farms, I believe, is getting their name on the annex building for the donation that they have made. I hate to talk numbers on any of these, but we have had some very, very nice donations, and we will be contacting
and
other
I'll
people.
Tell you what, I think it's appropriate not to share numbers, but I think it's even more appropriate to share names, because I think it's important for the community to know that these local businesses
and some individuals, probably
several individuals, have had like a mural named for a family member. Yep. Diane Kaiser being one. She's on our committee, and her family, the one that has been conserved is the Kaiser family mural. I think it's okay that I said that. I hope, Diane.
Yep.
And then some other family members of other families had. The Rammel family have a mural, and several other families have murals. So that's been a good thing.
So I think that's just so appropriate to let people know that these individuals, these families, these businesses are contributing to the quality of life
There are always those few, though, that want to give very generously and have given very generously and don't want us to mention their name.
Sure.
So I have to be a little careful that I don't talk about the ones that I do happen to know about that don't want it publicly known that they did that. They just rather do it on the quiet. So there, you get a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I'll tell you what.
There's still some, you said the 4 cameos are still available for somebody to sponsor.
Yes.
Are there other?
We're going to be doing a wall in the annex building also for any current new donations and donors. Mm-hmm. So depending on the size of the donation as to where it goes on the wall. Mm-hmm. We haven't got all that worked out yet. But there will be recognition available for anyone who wants to give us a sizable donation. Mm-hmm. We will make sure that is duly recognized within the building somewhere.
But, and I'll tell you what, I think as people continue to see the progress, especially the stuff that's not behind the scenes, and they can drive by and see.
That's why we're so excited that there's actually stuff being done outside now.
Yeah.
Tuck pointing has been done on the bricks too, and I don't know if anybody really noticed when that was happening.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah,
yeah,
no.
but that was done. But yeah, when the paint goes up and we knock in that door to put the new doorway in, that will be visible. And like I said, we've done a lot of work on the inside too. We have new subfloor in the downstairs area. The floor needs to be shorn up a little bit in the upstairs so that the fire department will, a fire marshal, will allow us to have more people up there. That's one of our main, one reason we're not having any events up there right now is we are limited to 49 people in there at any one time. But once we get the floor shorn up, which I think Ace of Trades is going to be taking care of here soon for us, then we can have more people up there, and then we can start thinking about events.
When it's all said and done, what does the upstairs hold?
Back in the day when there weren't fire marshals and regulations and everything, they would have 200 to 250 people floor, and then another 50 up in the balcony. So basically 300 people could fit up there. Unless maybe they were having a wrestling match and then the ring took up the center stage and they'd have to have people up on the stage, you know, to watch the wrestling match if they were going to have that many people up there.
Yep. But That's incredible when you think of that many people up there.
Right. In the 1800s, early 1900s, when there weren't very many people in this town.
Yeah, that's incredible. So, you know, one of the things, as like I go to various small towns, and my wife and I like to leave on Fridays and go to, you know, different places. And one of the things that's common in many of these small towns is an art or culture storefront. Okay, you know, and you know, I know that as like we look to find ways to continue to attract people into our town. You know, when like you see local people's artwork, and just like from a music standpoint, there's a lot of talented people out there. And I think when you look at the purpose of the Opera House to be able to bring in that aspect of the culture, I think it'd be a great opportunity too.
Absolutely. A great place for new people to get started and get to showcase what they can do. And as far as you're talking about other artwork and things like that, popped into my head is the fact that A Simple Touch is moving down the street into the original Brockman Furniture Building.
Yeah.
I've peeked in her windows and she's moving in, and it's going to be gorgeous, and it's going to be a great showcase for our town also. Yeah. I think that's going to add a lot. And you know, we have the historic gas station with a public restroom. So years ago they were talking about what we need to get buses to come in here and stop for a day. And it's like, we have the museum, we have the stockade. Now we're going to have an opera house. We have businesses. We have our boutiques. We have the public restrooms that people can use. We're about ready to fly.
Yeah, we need more restaurants.
We could use a restaurant or two.
Yep.
But I think we're about ready to fly with enough attractions in our town. We have the Monument Park with the memorial to the military. You know, we have a lot of different things that are reasons for people to come to Fort Recovery.
Yeah.
And we're going to get those buses yet.
Yep. And with Donna Gruby on the committee, that's going to help a lot.
Yes, Donna's
a
been a
lot
good
of people.
Yes.
Yeah.
We need a BERT store.
Okay.
like a candy store.
They can stop there on the way up from
TV.
Yeah, there you go.
They can stop on their way up from Dayton and then
that's
come on
true.
Up here.
That's
yep.
true.
Yep.
So I tell you what, I think we need to take one more break, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
And we're going to come back and talk about the cruising that's coming up on
October 7th.
October 7th. So we'll be back to talk about the cruising right after
week
this.
From Friday.
Bohr's Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Bohr's, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Bohr's Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Bohr's Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Promotion from within the company is huge, and it's very much supported by the owners.
At Cooper Farms, we value hard work and dedication toward bettering yourself, and we reward that. We know that our team members are the key to our success.
We offer them classes. We help them try to get to that next level. We want them to learn. The people are our asset.
Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting Finance and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. I believe firmly in two things. The little things mean a lot, and to be great, you have to be practicing certain tasks, OADB, on a daily basis. As a coach myself, certain small things completed the right way are the ripple in the pond that many times leads to a tidal wave of success in your operation. Trust me, there's a big difference between a pass or a toss at your feet as opposed to one that hits you right in the numbers. See me for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental things. 419-852-4049.
The Fort Recovery firefighters are having their famous all-you-can-eat breakfast on Sunday morning, October 15th, from 8 to noon at the fire hall. Sausage, pancakes, and omelets custom made by your firefighters, all you can eat. All the proceeds will go toward new and updated equipment and building upgrades, and it's a free will donation. Don't miss this great breakfast. Head on down to the fire hall on Sunday morning, October 15th, from 8 to noon, for the Fort Recovery Firefighters' famous omelet, pancake, and sausage breakfast.
Give me at least 5 seconds notice. We're back.
I gave you 10, 15, 20, 25, and 30.
Okay. Well, then I guess we're back.
Yes.
Insight. We're talking to Carol Judy about the Opera House, but Carol has her hands in so many things in Fort Recovery. She's also been an active member of the local card club for how long, Carol?
A long time.
Over 5 years.
Jack was not an original charter member of the club, but we joined it probably a year or two after they formed. So it's been 40 years. Jack was president for many, many years before he passed away. Then Laverne Weitzel took it over for a couple of years. In the last several years, my son John has been the president of the car club. So, yeah, I'm still involved.
That seems about right, though.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah.
It's got to make you proud.
It does. It does. They, all three of the boys inherited Jack's love for cars and vehicles. And
they're all really good at it.
They're really good at it, especially Tom, the oldest one. I have to give a shout out to him. He runs Ravenwood Fabrications in Greenville, building street rods, which his dad would be so terribly proud of.
Yeah. For the first time I got by that building, it's kind of impressive. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't stop in or anything from the road. That's not a little shop.
You might have looked at the neighbor's building.
Well, I thought it had his sign on it.
Oh, okay.
But he does
have a nice shop, but the neighbor has a huge building that Tom would love to have, but it's not his.
Well, I'd just move in.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. We're having a cruise in on Saturday, October 7th from 4 to 8. Uptown on the Brick Street, and everybody is welcome to come. If you bring a vehicle, be it a truck, a car, or a motorcycle, it's $10 to enter, and we give out some nice awards at the end of the evening. We will have a DJ spinning tunes. Historically, the museum is open for free, so anyone that hasn't been to the local Fort Recovery Historical Museum for a few years needs to come up that night, and they will be open for a couple of hours. I'm not exactly sure what their hours are at this point, but we make a donation to them and they to cover the cost of the people coming in and out, and they have the museum open for free. So it's a good chance to send your family and your friends over to the museum to take a quick peek there and see what's going on at the museum. And then the restaurants, of course, are open and will be serving food. Boy Scouts will be uptown on the street. Possibility, not completely confirmed yet, but Wendell's may have their food truck up here, the Wendell Barbecue. Mm-hmm. They were here at the spring. He's still working out a little bit of the schedule details. Steve talked with him today. So he's not completely sure he's going to be able to be here, but it's a possibility. So there'll be plenty of food, plenty of drinks on the street, and
a whole bunch of awesome cars.
And for spectators, it is absolutely free. So come up and see your friends and neighbors and visit a little bit, take a look. If you are a sponsoring merchant, you are encouraged to come up and vote for the car that you like, and that's some of the best fun of the cruise in. A lot of car shows are judged, and you have to have everything just right and everything matching and everything cool. Our cruise in is for fun, and the merchants pick the car that they like for whatever reason they like it. They don't have to know
anything
about it.
Whether it's the color or the brand or the tires or whatever it might be, you just pick out what you want.
I tell the story often. When I was running the Purple Post, I gave my award to a purple lead sled, of course. It had to be purple. And the lady came up to me afterwards, not knowing who I was, and said, look, my car's purple, and the Purple Post gave me this award. That is just so cool. She was just so excited. And that's the fun of it, because she probably wouldn't have won an award at any other car show because of the judging, but this was for fun, and she got an award, and she was thrilled, and I was able to say, yeah, that was me.
And so there's how many merchants that sponsor?
We have about 35 sponsoring merchants this year.
So 35 people are going to get an award.
35 people are going to get an award. If we have rain, I always give a big sigh of relief when the 35th car signs in, because then one award goes to every car. And in the 25 years we've been doing cruise-ins, there has only been 1 year when we did not have enough vehicles, and that was last year in the spring when it rained, and it was horrible and it was ugly, and we had like 15 cars that still came, which we were very thrilled for. But that's the only year in 25, twice a year. So 50 times, we've only had 1 year that we have not given away all of our awards to different cars.
What's the most cars you guys have?
About 220. Yeah, and then it all depends on the weather. If it's good weather, if it's sunshiny and halfway warm, they will come. If it's threatening rain, if it's rained the day before, maybe not so much. But, you know, we've been doing this long enough that people know us, and we get cars from Hartford City. We get cars from Fort Wayne. We get cars from Dayton. We get cars from all over besides our local people that are always very good about
that. Yeah, and Harold was asking about that. And, you know, almost always they're all the way up to what used to be Pack-a-Sack.
Yes.
But they also get down, I think a couple of years ago, we had cars parked not only on your display lot, but also on your regular lot and filled with people.
And once the grocery store closes, we use their parking lot also. Yep. Yeah. We don't use their lot until they're closed, but once they close, we use their parking lot too. So yeah, we have plenty of places for cars to park. Yep. And they can park at my house if they have to.
Yeah, we can go as far as we need to down South Wayne Street.
Absolutely.
So, Carol, what's the time of this?
4 to 7 are the, or 4 to 8 are the times on the flyer, which means cars will begin showing up no later than 2 o'clock. Probably by noon, there'll be somebody out there on the street with a show car waiting for the cruise in. They always come early to get the best spots. So, but the official timing is 4 to 8, and the car club guys will be up here by 2 to help get people situated and settled and in line.
And I was going to ask about the difference between a cruise-in and a car show. It's basically that a cruise-in is less formal.
Right.
It's more fun.
Right.
You're there to, you know,
compare notes, look at cars, have a good time.
Yep. Fantastic. And I'm sure that the local businesses will be open. If you want to pop into Brick Street, I'm sure you can say hi to Rocker up there. So what year is this as far as this, like the...
I'm going to say it's the 28th year. I should have looked at that. All the flyers are out on St. Peter Road in the shop. Ah. Every year there's a flyer on the wall, and Steve has continued that since he lives out there now. So he has continued putting the flyers up on the wall.
How cool is that?
I think we go back to about 1980. We did 10 years of car shows earlier than that, and then everybody was tired of the work of judging all the shows and having people complain that they weren't judged properly. So we went to the Cruise Inn, moved it uptown, and we've been doing that ever since, and it's been great.
Fantastic. Carol, it's been a quick hour, lady.
It has. It has.
Is there anything we haven't touched on that you'd like to kind of remind us of?
Just keep watching the Opera House for more improvements along the way. And if you have any suggestions, we are open to suggestions. And if you want to help and join our committee, you are more than welcome to come to a meeting. We have our meetings on the third Wednesday. You can contact us through Facebook or call any one of the members, and we'd be glad to have you as an additional committee member.
Yep. Keep watching the Facebook page.
Facebook page is good. We
can lots of pictures.
We try to keep things going on there.
Yep.
So, everybody who has Facebook out there, you can make sure you add Morbilius Opera House to your list of friends. And
if you don't know how to spell Morbilius, if you get in the M-O-R-V, it'll usually pop up.
It'll pop up.
The I's and the U's and the S's will just pop right up there, and you'll have Morbilius.
Fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take one quick break.
We are.
We're going to come back and talk to Rocker.
I don't have any more break stuff, but we can. Oh. Why don't we just go talk to Rocker now?
Oh. I was thinking I still had one to do.
Nope.
Well, hell, I did good this time.
Jack, you're on top of the ball, my friend.
I have to tell you. Plus, we should be right on time for the 8:16 sports talk.
Yeah, about usual.
So, who is featuring Christy Reisner, right, Bob?
Yep.
You are correct, sir.
Track and field.
So, before we get to that, we have the beautiful Rocker Bonneville.
My little dog and pony show.
And I'm glad you got your microphone fixed.
Yes, I was a little shaky there for a while. Okay, this day in pop culture history yesterday.
Oh,
1964, Gilligan's Island goes on its maiden voyage.
1964.
Yes.
How many episodes were there?
Three.
There's 4 years, so I'm assuming back then they did maybe
25?
No, probably not that many. Probably 13, 14.
So, there's 50 episodes of Gilligan's Island, and there's six on every day at some point, someplace. Think about that.
Yeah, because I don't think they did. I mean, like, today they do about 22 episodes a season. I don't think they did that many back then.
The first season, there was 36.
36?
Episodes.
Wow. Wow.
On the first season.
So they didn't do reruns in the spring or anything like that then.
I was way off then.
Okay. Yep. The question that everybody asks and nobody agrees on.
Oh, the Marianne Ginger thing?
Yes. Ginger or Marianne?
Marianne.
Marianne.
Well, I'm going to go Marianne because she's, well, not with us anymore, but she's my favorite. Ginger's still with us. Yes, she is, actually.
Sigourney Weaver.
What?
She played in the last couple episodes.
I don't think she did.
Actually, Ginger is the only actress that got replaced, though. And what was the name of the boat, Rocker?
The Minnow.
SS Minnow.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
1991. ABC. This one didn't go so well. ABC premieres Cop Watch, which got busted after so many episodes.
Cop Watch.
Yeah, Cop Rock. I should.
Cop Rock.
That.
Oh.
Either way, it got canceled.
I heard of that one, but that did seem like a stupid premise.
Yeah, it was very bad.
Yep.
Very not awful, not great.
Okay, thanks for bringing it up.
Well, I had to book something literally.
Okay.
1982, today, SquarePants premieres on CBS. Believe it or not, it wasn't the ratings that killed this show, it was drugs.
Oh, well.
Apparently, too many of the people on the cast.
That That's
Thanks,
what
Bob.
You were doing to Carol before.
This is
the
why.
The poor lady was trying to talk about her opera house. And you were banging around like some carpenter
it's
in the
okay.
bathroom.
It's okay.
No, it's not. We're upset.
Oh.
Okay. Well,
you were just doing it. What's next?
Okay. 1996. Sabrina, the Teenage Witch. Airs on ABC.
Sabrina.
Part of the Friday night lineup.
Oh, boy.
That's a...
Nah.
Okay.
Sigourney Weaver's sister.
No, it's Demi Lovato. Demi Lovato.
Nancy Sinatra.
Let's try Melissa Joan Hart.
Who?
I'm Melissa Joan Hart. For those people,
oh, that's close.
Yeah, yeah. Had words. Had letters in the name.
This will go with the Larry birthdays.
Ooh, I love
oh boy,
Larry
birthdays.
Tuesday, Karen Berkey.
You give us the name and let us guess the age.
Yeah,
yeah.
I like this game.
I'll let you let them beat the crap out of you then.
Okay.
Okay, how old do you think Karen Berkey is then?
Oh, I thought you said celebrity.
Oh,
birthday.
No. You got your beak in the trough now.
Right. Local birthdays.
Now you are going to get close.
Carol's 38.
There is no Carol.
Then she's 37.
Okay.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
Gina Schreyer Spears.
Mm.
Okay.
And Kurt Dippold.
Gina Schreyer.
Gina.
Are you still with us, Neil?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, was I supposed to do something there?
Gina, the basketball player?
Yeah. Renee.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Spears.
Yep.
Thursday, Tori Leonard's. And then Friday, Tammy Post.
Hey.
Yep.
Happy birthday to all those local celebrities.
Yep.
And you know.
No, Tammy scored 1,000. No.
No.
She a Hall of Famer?
No.
No.
Not yet.
I don't think so.
Put her in.
Yeah, okay.
Now it's that time for the Citizen of the Day.
Citizen of the Day.
Beep, 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 beep. Anybody want to take a guess?
Carol Judy.
Carol Judy.
Yep.
Now, that'd be nice, but no.
Well, you could change it. You could have just said yes.
Male or female?
Yeah.
Who's been begging for this for the last month and a half?
Bill Stogler.
Bob Stogler. Jack Stogler.
No, I'm looking right at him.
Me?
Yes.
I never beg for that.
Yes.
Yeah, you beggar.
Neil, you're always giving
Neil
rock
Spencer
your hell, and you're never saying
the day.
It's the dumbest.
Very story. Well deserved, Neil. Standing ovation in the studio.
It's the dumbest thing ever.
That's the most beautiful award ever.
See?
Well, you can go back and listen. I've never begged for anything
this
at all.
This ain't my
like
first
that.
Rodeo.
No.
You just got fired.
Wait, Rocker, wait.
Next week.
Can Jack be next week?
That's the nicest thing I've ever seen.
It was beautiful.
Don't oversell it. Celebrity birthday time.
Oh, celebrity birthday.
There you go. Now
we can get the ages.
Okay, now, but probably not close, but mm-hmm. we'll go
ahead. Yeah, we don't care.
Yesterday, we got Linda Hamilton.
One.
Oh, yes. Linda Hamilton.
Linda Hamilton.
Wonderful.
Well, oh, she was
Terminator 2.
Very good, Jack. Oh, thank God you're right with me.
73.
Linda Hamilton.
68.
64.
She's younger than me.
Are we doing prices right?
Yep.
Okay, you said what?
63.
I said 78.
64.
But I didn't mean it.
Oh, he said 73.
The answer is 67.
That's what I was going to say.
Ding, 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 ding.
What do we have for him? A piece of cheese.
All right.
This next one nobody will get because nobody will care.
Oh, thanks for bringing it up then.
Melissa Sue Anderson of Little House on the Prairie.
House on the Prairie.
I can't say it.
62. 61.
It's in the
63. 64. 65. 66. 67.
Melissa Sue Anderson from Little House on the Prairie.
69. I've named all the 60s.
Melissa Sue Anderson from Little House on the Prairie.
She's about my age, too.
No.
61.
My first guess was 61, then I guessed everything else in the 60s.
And you would be right. It's 61.
I would have been right if you'd said 63, too, because I named every one of the 60s.
Jim Caviezel, who played Jesus.
Okay. Jim Caviezel.
Jennifer Beals.
Does anybody got hearing? What? Don't put their hearing aids in.
What?
Who is Jim Sevelius?
Caviezel.
I just said he played Jesus.
Yep.
We're gonna
win.
And he just had a big new movie out that the left wing doesn't care for. Can't remember the name of it.
51.
They're close.
68. 40.
Jesus. 55.
Jesus. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus is how old?
55.
He's 33.
He is now.
Serena Williams.
Serena. 40.
No.
Serena.
Yeah, she's older. I'm guessing 40.
Not Venus. She's Serena. No. I'm going to guess.
Well, they're both birthday because they're twins.
No, they're not.
Well, close enough.
They're the year or two apart.
They're twins.
How are we going to do this?
Serena's 44.
42.
Oh.
Thank God that dog and pony show's over.
Same age as Christy.
Today's birthdays.
Oh boy.
I love these.
Sean Cassidy.
I woke up in love. 72.
That's David Cassidy, genius.
Oh, Sean Cassidy. Oh.
Sean was David's younger brother.
68.
Was he on the Partridge Family?
No.
Yeah. Well, I don't think so.
I'm sleeping and right in the middle of a good dream. But all at once I wake up.
Is that Sean Cassidy?
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Cruising.
48.
52.
60.
The answer is 51.
That was close.
Now she can go, for a birthday present, she can go steam her you-know-what.
Yes. Get one of those candles.
Avril Lavigne is 39. Oh, sorry.
All right. That was what I was going to guess.
Isn't it ironic? He was a punk. She did ballet. It's like rain.
Wrong one. Wrong Canadian.
Bumped up for Friday.
And Jenna Ortega.
Wow.
Oh, the maker of the taco shells?
Taco girl.
No, she's the new Wednesday Adams.
She's 24.
Close.
23.
27.
Bubba. 32.
27. The answer is 21.
Oh.
Oh.
That's all I got, folks. That's
it. Thank Rocker, God. I mean,
maybe your best show ever
this week,
especially the Neo aspect of it.
No, that was stupid.
You never fail to just light up my life.
Thank you, Debbie Boone.
Debbie Boone.
Stay tuned, everybody, for Bubba and Fian Sports Talk coming up. And I think they have special guest Christy Diller coming up. So stay tuned. See you next week.
Thank you for staying tuned to It Right with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard.